Whether your beer is in a bottle, can, or glass, kick back and relax. It's Better on Draft.
Hey, still haven't updated that intro video yet. We'll do that one of these days. Episode number 343 of Better on Draft. One of your hosts, Dan, here with me always, Rob and Wendy. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing great, Dan.
I'm fantastic today.
Awesome. Doing this a little later than normal today. All good. Hope you guys can stay awake for this. I know it's like 10 o'clock out there. It's 4 p.m. in the afternoon, wherever the hell I'm at. What are you guys drinking today? Wendy, we'll start with you.
Well, I am double fisting today, kind of. In honor of International Women's Beer Day, I have our new NA beer from Kitty Pig. It is called Saskaberry. Sorry, I can't talk today. Saskaberry Blonde. It is a collaboration between the front woman for We Are Pigs and the all-female metal band Kitty that offers NA beer for metalheads at music festivals and venues. That's their goal. I did a review of it on TikTok last night on the Better on Draft channel, and I just thought it would be really awesome to drink it today in honor of International Women's Day.
Excellent. You said that's an NA beer?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Yep. Bob, what about you? Oh, go ahead, Wendy. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Does it have Saskatoon berries in it? Is that the Saskatoon part?
It does.
Okay, neat.
The thing is I don't know what Saskatoon berries taste like, so I just know that it's a berry flavor that I enjoy.
Yeah, I've only ever had it as jam.
I didn't even know it was a thing till right now.
Yeah, I had to look it up.
go ahead.
I am drinking a Weizengut from Beer Brewery, which is just, it's I think the first domestic Hefeweizen I ever had, and I absolutely love it.
What's it called? One more time.
Weizengut.
Amazing name. And because I'm being basic as hell, I'm drinking a Guinness because it's what I had in the fridge here. All right. So a couple it's weeks ago, we year. Tried it, it. I mean, it's summertime where I'm at, I guess so. anyways, a couple of weeks ago, we tried to do a show talking about beer travel tips. I think we're going to actually try to do that for real this time. Three of us are pretty well traveled, as far as I know. I know, Rob, you've been to some pretty exotic places like I have, Wendy. I know you've been all over the place as well. Let's talk about some of the best beer traveling tips that we have, because I know a couple of good ones, even that what happened to me, not traveling, but at home. But it's a very, we'll get to that in a little bit. So, Rob, I want to start it with you. Wendy's been here for a while, as I have. We talked about our travels quite a bit. I want to hear about some of your tips and some of the things you've come up with.
Sure. So I've got a few of them. One is not being shy to ask on beer communities, especially larger beer communities, when you're going someplace. Either people have been there already or people live there. And sometimes that works out and you get to meet people that way too. But the other thing that I will do, my travel pattern is usually that I am traveling for work. Most of the time that's the case. And I usually find out on Thursday or Friday where I will be on Monday when that happens. And so there's not much lead up time for it. So I will usually figure out if there are any breweries near where I'm working, the customer site specifically. Those will go on the list immediately. And then after that, after I land, I'll check for breweries near the airport so that I have a plan for the end of the business trip. And then I will check for things near my hotel. Usually I will use the Untappd app and look for nearby venues so that way I can check out the menus and stuff pretty easily just on my phone without having to, you know, look around too much. But it really depends on where you are and what's going to be in there. So I will also check Google Maps and do a search for craft beer. But one of the things I learned early, I don't know if you still have to do it, is that depending on where you are, it's either going to be called a liquor store, a package store, or a bottle shop. And you have to kind of know which one it is so that you search for the right thing. I think Google's gotten smarter about it because it searches comments and stuff on the places now too. So if you search for craft beer, you can usually, like that exact term, you can usually find people who comment on the craft beer in the establishment itself. So that tends to help too. But yeah, the big ones are, you know, looking for breweries specifically near where you're going, and then having an exit strategy too. So I'll pick up beer and stuff to fly home with.
My biggest tip when it comes to that is check multiple places for their hours. Don't just look at one, look at multiple places, because there have been a number of times that I have rolled up to a brewery in the middle of a neighborhood that I don't necessarily, that the Uber drivers have said, I don't think I should leave you here. The brewery wasn't open. Or they were closed that day for a special event. So we looked it up on Google. It said that it was open. We didn't check their Facebook page to see that they were closed that day. So always check in multiple places.
Yeah, that's a good one. And sometimes I even forget to check the hours and up the closed ones. I remember once in one of the North Carolina, I had like an early afternoon flight out, and it would have been on a Saturday for some reason. And when I got to the brewery, it wasn't open for the day yet. So I found a nice park nearby, and I just kind of went for a walk in the park for a while until it opened.
You didn't drink in the park? That's probably what I would have done, but I guess I'm not everyone. You know, you bring up a good point about looking, double checking the time. So there was a brewery actually not too far from here I was going to go check out. I saw that they're open on Friday. They were closed like during the week, and then I saw they open on Friday. I'm like, oh, they're open during the weekends. No, they're only open Friday from 4 to 8 p.m. I don't even know what's happening over there. It's got to be a front for something else, but you definitely do need to check, because otherwise you end up in a park with a paper bag doing, I don't know, whatever I would do there with a paper bag.
Maybe it's a side hustle for him.
Maybe. I mean,
like it's one guy doing the brewing and he has to work a day job still.
That's entirely possible. But like, it was like dead. There was no one there working. So I don't know what they're doing over there. Hopefully it's something good, because if they're only open for 4 hours, they better have a line out the door.
Right.
You know, to make sure that that's going good. Now, Rob, didn't you tell us before briefly that you ended up going to a brewery that didn't exist?
Yes. That was in South Africa, of all places. So, yeah, that was one where I didn't have much of a list. I really have lost. It's one of the three capitals, not Cape Town, not Johannesburg, the third one.
Would that be Durban?
No. But I was working in Johannesburg, and I took the train there. They have a very nice Freedom Museum that I ended up walking over to. It was quite a few blocks. It was neat. It was very interesting. I had a plan. I knew a good beer bar, and I had looked up a brewery. I did actually look up the hours for that one, and they claimed to be open on that weekend. Well, they had their hours posted. I did not check how recently they had posted to Facebook. it was not Bloemfontein.
According to Google, the three capitals are Cape Town, Pretoria, and Bloemfontein.
Okay, so it wasn't Johannesburg. It was Pretoria was where I was.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I took an Uber to this brewery, and it was a hike like on the edges of Pretoria. And I don't know how familiar you are with South Africa, but, I was there the weekend. Well, this was that same weekend. The day before, I drove out to an elephant sanctuary. A friend told me, drive out to this elephant sanctuary. My brother will meet you there. Well, then his brother got invited to a bachelor party, so he couldn't come. but I went to the elephant sanctuary anyway. And as I'm driving out there, there's all these signs, don't stop because this is a kidnapping zone and stuff like that. And there's all these like dirt trails right near there that were not. Yeah. So anyway, I was already a little nervous about traveling around on my own. But then here I am in this Uber going out to the very edge of Pretoria, and we're just down this long road that parallels the highway. And we get basically to the end of it. It's an industrial type of road, and I'm used to breweries in industrial areas. That's pretty common. But when we get there, it's just a gate, and the gate is closed, and there's no signage or anything. And yeah, that brewery just no longer existed. The Uber driver waited for me, and then I put in the beer bar that I had on my list. And so he waited until, you know, that came through to the Uber so he could accept it because he was the nearest one. And off we went. So he got paid twice that way. But yeah.
Do you find that Uber drivers are more accommodating when it comes to stuff like that in other countries than they are here?
I've had two experiences that I would say were weird like that. And yes, they have both been very accommodating.
Because I have had Uber drivers that just left us in the middle of nowhere because he's like, I'm sorry, I have this other fare I have to go get. So you're kind of SOL. Because they'd already accepted another fare before they dropped us off.
Exactly. I could see that if they'd already accepted it. Yeah. Yeah. But where I was in Pretoria, I doubt another fare was coming in.
Oh, boy. Yeah. He could have left you there. I mean, what did you do? Were you like wandering around the place aimlessly? Like, where?
No,
I
didn't even get out of the car because it was a gate with no signage. Like, I did double check the map and stuff, and yeah, we were in the right place.
It was probably behind the gate. You just had to go through and see it. I mean, you were right there.
That's the other thing about South Africa is all of the neighborhoods and stuff are fenced with security and things. So gates are pretty common. It's normal to have a gate, but it's not normal for the gate to be shut that tight with nobody there, no signs.
I was like that brewery in St. Martinburg that I went to where I had to go and peek in the gate to see that there was like a rug and a stairs going to the upstairs.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
What kind of sketch was that?
I was by myself too. There was a big sign that said brewery tour parking here, but nowhere looked like a brewery. So I finally saw like a gate that was open between two buildings. And I went and looked and I'm like, oh, there's like one of those fake grass rugs and a little potted palm tree and then stairs. So I go and I look up the stairs and I see there's a door up top. So I just walked up the stairs the whole time going, please let this be a brewery. Please let this be a brewery. Because I was by myself. It was a good 40 minutes from the taxi ride from the port where this brewery was.
Yeah, it can get dicey like that.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have been walking in there. I was like, like, that's kind of scary. Where were you?
Where else was I going to go?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Was this in Haiti?
No, this was in Martinsburg? Hang on. I'm going to look it up now because I know I'm saying it wrong. No, it's the one where there's the Dutch side and the French side.
The beer bar that she looks that up, the beer bar that I went to after they let me know that the day that I was at the Elephant Sanctuary was the same day they had their first craft beer festival.
Oh,
so I just missed it. If I had switched my days, I could have done that.
At the Elephant Sanctuary?
No, it was at it was at a park near this beer bar.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. I was like, who's going to the beer festival at the Elephant Sanctuary, especially with kidnappings? Like, sounds like a good time. Yeah.
After the Elephant Sanctuary, I went to, it was an airport themed brewery. They had a bunch of like broken airplanes and things, but a helicopter landed while I was sitting outside drinking my beer. And it was neat.
See the most messed up things in that country, I swear to God. It's like they don't know how to life. Like, oh, here's our airport themed brewery with broken airplanes. Like, all right. Yeah. But you definitely do, you know, talking about the you know, finding out if it doesn't exist anymore, if it's there. There's this brewery, it used to be there, kind of in central Arizona in the middle of nowhere, down a bunch of dirt roads. It was called Barnstar Brewing. And like it was like 10 miles down these dirt roads to get to it, like on this ranch in the middle of nowhere. And the worst thing is, they would only be open on the weekends, so like Saturday and Sunday. and they were terrible at communicating. So one week, I think it was towards the end of 2020, actually went up there and they just decided not to open. They didn't tell anyone. They didn't post anything. People were showing up and they just weren't open. It's like, oh, sorry. And, you know, it's one of those destination places because no one, I mean, Prescott's close to there, but you got to drive through windy roads and through a whole bunch of stuff to get there. And it's just like, oh yeah, sorry. We didn't decided not to open today. And lo and behold, they're out of business now, which is too bad because apparently the beer was really good, but that's the kind of thing you end up with some of these backwoods type of things going on. Wendy, did you figure out where
that inconsistent hours help with that too? Because yeah. That drives people insane, and then they say bad things even though their beer is good. St. Martin. It was SXM Brewing in St. Martin. They actually took me to the wrong brewery. The taxi driver did. And dropped me off in this parking lot. And I was like, okay. So, but the owners were really awesome. The owner's girlfriend actually drove me to the next brewery. So that was kind of cool. I told her I was going to walk, and she goes, yeah, I think I'm going to give you a ride.
Why weren't you walking? Why didn't she want you to walk?
It's none of my business. I took the ride. And I had a friend that was meeting me at the next brewery with a taxi. So.
Yeah.
Now, what kind? I'm kind of curious because I've never been. That's the Caribbean. What kind of beer do they make down there?
You can usually find quite a bit of different things. It's usually a lot of lagers, lighter beers. I found a stout on Tortola. I was really excited about that. They had like four or five different beers, but they were also the ones that the guy had told me he'd been working there a few months and he hadn't gotten the chance to make beer yet because they were out of hops were waiting on a hop shipment.
Yeah, that's life of living on an island for sure.
Yeah.
It always kind of sucks. You know, it's good that you find other kinds of beer there. It always shocks me the different styles of beer you can find in Hawaii, especially when most of the breweries aren't in a touristy area. So you're always expecting, at least I am, expecting lagers, pilsners, like every terrible kind of beer you could want. You know, kind of like when you go to Mexico, it's like, what style of Mexican beer do you want? It's like, all right, I'm over the Corona. Give me something else. Now, I'm curious. Oh, go ahead.
I have to disagree with that because I have a friend that runs a craft beer bar in Cozumel. And the reason that I'm actually friends with him is because we went in there while we were in port on a cruise one time. And there were six of us and we all ordered a different local beer. And there was quite a few different styles. I was really impressed with the beer that they had for us to try.
Now, I've never been to Cozumel. My one experience is down in PDC, Playa del Carmen. And there was one bar that didn't serve Mexican lagers, and it was an Irish bar. It was so frustrating. Like, it's like, all right, I'm coroned out. Give me something else. Thankfully, we found that towards the end of the trip, so it kind of worked out. But I'm glad to hear they have other styles there, because all I can imagine is people just, when they have micheladas, too. They already have the pre-made micheladas that you can get and walk around in the street drinking, because that's legal there for it should be everywhere.
That's one time I will do tomato in my drink.
It's the michelada?
Yeah, especially the spicy ones.
So you won't drink a Bloody Mary, but you'll drink a michelada.
It's the Bloody Marys I've tried. It's just, it's so tomato-y.
But the beer, I guess the beer might cut down on that. I don't know. They're really good, though. I can understand why they do it, because their beer
is
salty.
Is it the Clamato?
But so the Clamato, that would be a Caesar, and I do like those a little bit, at least.
The Clamato?
Yeah.
Yeah, those aren't bad. Whatever they do to make that stuff is pretty good.
Is it
there's more than clam juice in it.
It's tomatoes and clam juice.
Was it Bud Light that was making that for a long time? The Clamato that they were selling? I can't remember. But someone was making one for a really long time. I don't think they do anymore because no one wants a Bud Light or a Budweiser in their Michelada or whatever you're drinking.
Right.
Or in general. Now, I'm curious, you guys have to have stories like this. What's a bad situation that happened with your traveling and how would you avoid it in the future? Let's start with you, Rob.
Like beer-wise or?
No, just in general, on a beer trip. There has to be something. I've got one that kind of is beer-related, but yeah, go ahead. I want to hear what you've got for us.
Boy, I'd have to think about that for a minute. I can remember a couple where I have been completely lost and, you know, just completely breaking down, but I'm trying to remember the details for it.
What about you, Wendy?
I can tell my story while he's thinking of it.
Yeah.
So absolutely. My story is actually from Indianapolis, believe it or not. We were there for a sour beer festival, and the night before, we all went out and kind of split up into different directions. And one of the girls and I went to a few breweries. We walked a few miles out of the, not, I don't want to say a few miles, a few blocks out of the way, because we were not following the directions correctly in Google. But we ended up at like the third or fourth brewery that we had gotten to. We were heading to, we called the Uber. When the Uber showed up, it was a different car, but like I'm looking at my information on his screen and everything was right. Like we matched up, but the car was different. So we get in the car and immediately realize that he is 100% high, like stoned out of his mind. And he took us to this brewery that was closed early. Like they were supposed to be open for another 2 hours and they were shut down 100%. All the lights were off, everything. And he was one, I was not getting out of that car. And I was like giving him directions. Like I'm following the directions on his screen in front of me because he was like going in the wrong directions, everything. My friend's freaking out in the back seat. We get there and she's like, what are we going to do? And I'm like, we're not getting out of this car. So I put a new place in. We get to the new place and it's an Irish pub in an area that is very much younger and hipper, let's say, than the area that we were just at. So there was a lot of college kids there and there was a lot of police presence. And he would not pull up to where the police were standing. So he dropped us off like on the other side of a very busy road, a block away from the brewery, because he wouldn't go anywhere near the cops. But that was one of my crazy stories. I've had a few, but that was the one that I was like, oh, how the hell did I get into this? And my friend was like panicking. She's like, I don't know how you did that. I would have freaked out. I'm like, well, you kind of were. But I don't know. I guess if you deal with people like that on a regular basis, you'll learn how to talk to them. Because I was able to give them directions.
What about you, Rob? Did you think of your story?
Yeah, well, I thought of a fairly recent one. I was in Haarlem, Holland, with my wife, and we were basically in the downtown area, the old city area, and she agreed that we could go visit a brewery that I was pretty excited about in there. It translates to, I think, Little Owl, if I remember right, but I can't remember the name of the brewery. It's something like that, though. And so I put it into the Google Maps and it was going to be a longish walk, but we were up for it. And when we're almost there, I noticed that this was the production brewery and they weren't open to the public. And so it was really hot. We were both getting really thirsty. We were just, it was not a fun trip out there. It was not a scenic. I mean, there was the canal that we could walk along, which was nice, I guess, for a while, but it was still hot and the sun was beating down. It wasn't great and totally self-inflicted. And so when I found this out, yes, I had to break the news to my wife. That wasn't great. And then we went and found a bus stop and rode the bus back into basically where we started. And the brewery tap room, which was open, was pretty much right where we had started. So,
oh, good Lord.
Yeah. For whatever reason, it did not show up in my Google search.
It's funny you say that because I know up in I can't think of the city it's in, one you'll know where Shorts Brewing is at. They've always had a problem with people ending up at the production facility versus the actual tap room. I don't know if they still do, but for a long time it was a thing. And apparently they had people walking in all the time, being like, oh, and I'm in the wrong place, because they end up walking into the production area instead of where they were supposed to be.
Yeah, I'm sure they still have that problem.
They've expanded that place too. I don't know the last time you've been up there, but I was like shocked at how much bigger it is than what it used to be, as far as where you actually go, not the production facility. So I've got a fun story. This isn't like brewery specific, but this is perfect when you're traveling. If we're talking about traveling, you know, especially for beer, is make sure you have some way to keep your phone charged. And I'm going to tell you why. Especially if you're out drinking and, you know, you're not familiar where you're at, or you don't know if you don't have your phone, how you will get back if you don't have it. So showing my age, went to see Jerry Cantrell probably about a year and a half ago. You know, no big deal. My phone's in my pocket. Something caused it to stay on, keep the screen on, and it ended up killing my battery. Now, I'm about 15 miles from home, maybe at that point. And here's the issue. I couldn't call an Uber, and the light rail was down. There's a light rail, if you're familiar with Phoenix. It runs from Phoenix to the East Valley to the West Side, that sort of thing. And that was down because of the Innings Festival. It was the end of the year, end of spring training. They have this huge concert. So because I didn't have a way to charge my phone, I was in kind of a tough spot. I ended up actually having to walk to the airport and get a taxi. And there was one taxi left because it was like 1 a.m. So what should have been a 20-minute trip home maybe ended up taking 2.5 hours. So that's the biggest travel. And I'm sure you guys have had other stories when you're traveling like that too. Always make sure your phone's charged or have a way to charge it, because if you don't know where you're at or don't know how to get around, it's going to put you in a really bad spot. And it's hilarious to think back. It's like, man, I should have been home hours ago. And it's like, I don't even know what I was doing. I had to be up at 6 a.m. the next day. And it's like 1:30. So always a good time with that. What other kind of travel tip? Oh, go ahead, Rob.
So one of the tips there would be that you can go into most hotels and just go up to the desk, and they will have a charger that fits your phone. Even, you know, back in the day when every phone had its own charger, a very good chance somebody left one in a room. They're not going to ship it. So now that people are using mostly one or two types of chargers, you know, the phones are, then it's even, you're pretty much guaranteed. You can even do it at most bars anymore. Just say, my phone's dead, and they will have a charger there.
Well, it doesn't help when you're like 7 beers deep too.
No.
Yes. By the time the end of the show is over.
One of the servers will have a charger for your phone if they don't have their own stack back there.
Yep.
Well, good to know now. I've had that happen. That's something to keep in mind when you're in another country, in another state, or just down the road from your own house. You know, when you're going around, because it can turn real. It's ridiculous how dependent we are on those things these days. We all grew up, you know, without that. It's hard to imagine doing that again. You know, these kids these days don't even understand what life was like before the internet. So
remember making reverse phone calls? And you had to say like a whole sentence in the time where it says state your name.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Because
your mom would never pick up the
pick me up, mom, I'm ready.
You'd never pick up the phone and be like, I'm at the park.
Yeah, now find a payphone to do that with.
That's hard.
You're calling from a payphone. Yeah, I forgot all about that. Those are the good old days. Now, what other travel tips do you guys have? I know you're both well-traveled. We've talked about that. Rob, you had shared something about finding your bed.
Yeah. Yes. Tips for how to find your bed in a strange city when you've been drinking. Yes, absolutely.
So how do we do this? I'm kind of curious. What are some of the tips for finding your bed?
Taking pictures of your room key or something that has your room number is important. Again, you have to keep your phone charged to see the picture, but yeah, those pictures are good. And then dropping pins on your hotel. That's important. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, but I'm curious, you know, all right, we're going out drinking. Obviously, we're here to drink some beer. Is dropping a pin, are you going to be able to figure that out? Because I probably won't. I'll be like the caucus.
Oh, I do that. I do that pretty much when I will have marked that hotel somehow on Google Maps so that I can find it.
If I just walk.
That's what I need to.
Yeah, go ahead, Wendy.
Even if I call for an Uber from the airport, I will put the hotel's address into Google Maps so that no matter where I'm at, I can find it again.
Oh, that's smart. Meanwhile, I was, I went, where the hell did I go? Oh, down to the brewery or the tap room to get a growler filled the other day. And I'm staying at this new place. I'd been staying at here. I'm like, oh, I remember the way back. Just blew past the road. It ended up taking an extra 20 minutes to get back, which had taken us 7 minutes, took like a half hour because I just, I know where I'm going. So no, didn't put anything in the map, had to pull it up, found out I was way far away from where I was supposed to be. I'm like, this doesn't look familiar. And then, so good tip. Maybe I need to start writing some of these down because I apparently don't do any of this and it shows.
If I'm going to be working in the city for a couple of weeks, I will intentionally drive around a bit without using the navigation. Because I find when I use the navigation, I don't pay attention to the roads at all. And so I would have no idea like road names or any of that stuff. Cause I'm just, I've got about a mile to go until I turn up here rather than, oh, okay. Well, there's a Sears. Well, there aren't Sears anymore. There's a, there's this store or that store over there. And oh, there's a White Castle across from a Wendy's. And you get some landmarks when you don't navigate. So I find that helps, but I do need to plan for extra time to get going when I do that.
I found some good restaurants that way too.
Nice.
Right. One of the things I do too is I have a book that it like is my notes for everything. Like every trip I go on, I have planned out like this is the list of breweries that I want to go to. Just because I don't know if I'm going to be able to get into my phone. So I write everything down and I'll write the hours that they're open, their address, which ones I really want to go to.
God, you guys are so organized. I feel like what am I even doing in life these days?
Well,
I don't do any of that. My phone dies. I don't know how to get home. Like I'm just riding around aimlessly.
Well, I don't know when I'm going to get back to where I'm at. So I want to make sure I make the most of the time when I'm there. So, and I plan when I go on cruises, I plan all of my excursions and everything around the breweries that I can hit while I'm there so that I can maximize any brewery time. My friends are very nice about that. Sometimes they don't want to go and they meet me later, but for the most part, they understand that I really want to hit the breweries, so I'm going to at least hit as many as I can.
Now, I've never been on a cruise. I'm sure a lot of people haven't. How long do those stops usually last when you go somewhere?
Oh, it could be anything from 3 hours to 12. It depends on the stop and what's going on in the ports.
Okay.
So I think,
get it down to specific timing.
Oh, yeah.
When you get one of these.
Yeah, when I was in Juneau, I could not do any other excursions because of the time that it took to get into town and the time it took because once you got into town, they took you by bus over to Alaskan Brewing to their facility for the tour. So that was a good 3 hour run right there. And then you're spending an hour there, hour to 2 hours, depending on what your tour was. I don't remember how long we actually spent at the brewery, but yeah, it was definitely something that needed to be planned out. So I planned my excursions for other places where we had more time in town.
Yeah. I'm totally going to be, if I ever go on a cruise, a person that misses the ship when it leaves and then just don't know what to do at that point. Cause that'll fit right in with everything else that I do. Be like, oh, you see it like taken off. Is he come back up? I can absolutely see that happening.
I have totally seen people missing the boat as we were pulling away.
Oh, geez. What do you mean?
It's devastating because they have to pay for their airfare home.
I don't even know what happens. Like,
they're stuck. They will leave you.
they're like, see you guys. Hopefully you're not in a foreign country without your passport, because that'll be a good time. Explaining.
Well, if you're going into port in a foreign country, you bring your passport with you.
Oh, you don't leave it on the ship?
No, you don't leave it on the ship. You take it with you.
I could see that.
Get off the boat.
You're like, yep. But, and the consulate's like 500 miles away. Go get a new passport. Like,
yeah. No, like, there's going to be a spot in the port someplace that you can talk to somebody.
What about you, Rob? Have you ever done tours like that with cruises?
No, I've never done a cruise. I have some interest. I've done the inclusive resorts. I like those.
Those don't usually have craft beer.
Yeah, those are good. Yeah. Here's your Corona and your Corona Light.
El Presidente. Exactly. El Presidente. We were hoping for Modelo.
I've seen some aimed at craft beer or having like craft beer weeks type of a thing, but I've never done that.
That's when they had the Modelo.
That's right.
That's the top shelf stuff. Otherwise, you get Tecate. Tecate is what you're drinking. That's the premium stuff.
That's right.
Oh, because I'm trying to think if there are all inclusives anywhere in America, and I don't think there are that I can think of. So you're always in some foreign country where you don't want to leave anyways.
Yeah, yeah. I remember looking into it. I don't remember finding any all inclusives.
In the U.S., the only place I can think is maybe Puerto Rico.
There's one in Florida.
Is there?
There is, and it's very expensive to stay there. It's not like going to...
That might have been what turned me off. I kind of had the memory of seeing one in Florida, or a couple in Florida, and they had like the base rate was whatever. It was pretty expensive, but then you had to buy the alcohol option on top of that to get the inclusive parties. Something along those lines.
See, that's how you make people get way too drunk, because now they've spent money and they think they have to drink the money's worth.
Exactly. Now I have to drink $1,000 of alcohol in a week. Well,
if you think about it, though, you're at this all-inclusive resort. What is there to do? You're sitting at the beach or you're sitting at the pool and you're drinking.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
God, I never thought about it that way. Everyone's like, oh, these are nice places. Oh, what do? Drink?
Like, and you're in Florida.
Yeah, I've only been to a couple in Mexico and in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, I was in Dominican Republic and in Cancun.
See, I've been down to the Cancun area. I've never stayed in all-inclusive. I hang out with the plebs, with the real people, you know, all the vatos on the street. Where you drive through the absolute hood to get to where the resorts are at, that really small area. I shouldn't even make fun of that. It's kind of sad. The more I sit here and talk about it, where you see the military.
When we were in Playa del Carmo, we took a taxi into town, and then we took the ferry over to Cozumel so that I could take a beer to my friend at the beer bar.
To take a beer? Because that's awesome.
Normally I see him when I'm on a cruise, right? Mm-hmm. So I was really excited that I could bring my own beer to Mexico to bring him beer. That was kind of cool for me to be able to bring him beer this time.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that that ferry, because the last time I was down there was end of 2017. Like a week after we left is when someone let off like an explosive device on one of those ferries. Like, just thinking about that, because it was right. The ferry is left right from like down the downtown area out to Cozumel. And thankfully no one was hurt. I don't think there was anyone on it when it went off. But yeah, thinking about that, kind of crazy down there. And it brings me back. If you were in Playa del Carmen, you probably saw the military hanging out. You saw cops with automatic like machine guns, like all kinds of crazy stuff down there. Like, they try to protect the money that comes in there good, but everyone else, it's like, fuck you. Pardon my language, but just a weird kind of thing. Someone's typing away. What do we got going on?
Sorry, that's me. Responding to, we have Jason Flanders on the chat. I'm not sure which. It looks like he's coming from X, giving us a bunch of different topics. Today we are just talking about tips for traveling when you're doing beercations, just any type of traveling. So that was it.
Oh, I'm reading his comments now. I didn't, of course, wasn't. Yeah. He's like, not sure what this pod is about. Well, we're talking to you about travel tips. I mean, hate us all you want, but it says travel tips for real this time. So thanks for joining us, Jason. We appreciate you. A lot of viewers on X of all places tonight. Kind of impressed to see that. Definitely drop us a line if you are listening live. You can chat with us here. Wendy will make sure to get back to you, and I'll probably roast you for some stupid question, but... Other than that,
but we do like the topic, so I actually have written them down and we might use them in other shows. So please don't ever hesitate to give us topic ideas. Dan.
Sorry.
That's right.
I'll be nice.
We all have our own job to do on the show.
Yeah. So I will once say one thing, Jason, in your comments. Draft line cleaning is absolutely important. And I can go on that for hours, but there have been times where I've been handed a beer and I can smell it. If I'm standing there, you know, walking up to get it where I'm swimming, I can smell the beer from where they set it down in front of me. And I'm just like, no, sir. I'm like, you take one whiff of that and think if anyone should be drinking that. I wish more places had better cleaning standards. That is one of my pet peeves. Hopefully it's everyone's pet peeve. You shouldn't be drinking beer from a dirty line. Have you guys come across that a lot? I've even come across breweries where it's like that, and I hope those breweries don't stay in business for too long. But
yeah, I remember very distinctly a brewery in Port Huron. They were very happy to have me in there and happy to pour me different beers because I was interested in all the different styles that they had. They just kept, you know, saying, oh, you should try this, you should try that. And in the end, they asked what I thought of it all. And I said, well, they all had kind of a same taste to them that wasn't great. But, you know, the beers themselves, you could tell were great, but there was some undertaste in it. And yeah, it was just, they definitely had not cleaned those lines in a while. And it kind of tasted like all the different beers had been on each tap at some point.
What about you, Wendy? Have you come across breweries that don't clean their lines?
Not very often. There, I have come across it where I felt like a line was infected and I told them and they did not respond, positively. So usually though, it's bars that you come across that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a place no longer in business, back in my Michigan days, in Troy that, if you remember when New Belgium first came to Michigan, they had standards of cleaning that the bars that put them on tap had to have. And the place I asked them if they're good, they're like, no, they want us to do too much with cleaning the lines and so forth. like they won't let us put the beer on here. I'm like, that tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah. Kind of important that you do that, guys.
And I'm never drinking beer here again after I hear that. But, you know, you'll see some of the biggest dive bars have the cleanest lines. And then you go to a place, the place I was talking about was actually one of the casinos in Arizona, where you can smell the beer. It's so bad, the infected or whatever is in there. You know, standing above it, you know, I'm a pretty tall guy and you can smell it from standing there. Like, I'm not drinking this. It smells like fucking dirty laundry. I don't even know how else to explain that. It's just... I wish, but then they're going to charge you like $8 for beer. I wish people just took more pride in the fact that they're selling that and would actually clean those lines out like they need to be.
Part of the problem is that the people serving it don't drink it.
But you can smell it too. So when it's that bad, and yeah, Jason Flanders, those are the Beer Rangers. You are correct from New Belgium. I forgot all about those guys. I don't even know if they still use them anymore now that they've merged with Bell's. But I wish actually more companies had that. I can't tell you how many times I've had a pint of PBR, the number one craft beer in the world. And it just tastes nasty because the line hasn't been cleaned.
I can't remember what it is. It was the, it's one of those big, you know, we've got 500 taps or whatever, places, and they have these really long runs for their lines. You know, they've got this beautiful display of their kegs behind, you know, in a chiller somewhere with glass windows. Yeah. So you can look at them, and then they run over the ceiling and down into the taps in the middle of the room. And, you know, it looks beautiful. And all I can think is that's a lot of line to have to clean.
A lot of line to clean.
Yeah. There's a place I've talked about a bunch of times. There's a craft beer bar right by my house where I live in Phoenix. And they shut down on Sundays once a month because they close early. I think they close at like 6. They clean the lines. And it's just a whole process because they have 82 taps, I believe. And they are not all right there. Some of them are right against the wall where the cooler is. The others are on the other side of the building. So it's a lot of cleaning. It just takes a lot of time, I'm sure.
Yeah, you got to be dedicated or you end up, you know, with dirty lines.
Yeah, absolutely bad. So we are coming up on 45 minutes here now. I know we were going to keep it a little shorter today because we decided to get started a little late. I was too busy doing things for who knows what reason. Anyways, Rob, did you have any more tips? Anything else you want to give out here before we end it?
I can't remember one now. No.
I have one. So you mentioned bringing home beer. I have been on beer trips where I made sure I brought an extra suitcase. Like I packed my suitcase into a bigger suitcase so that I could have a second suitcase to go home. I have a Delta American Express or SkyMiles card, so I get 2 free bags. I've done that. You also need to make sure that you bring your own packing materials because stopping in at the Dollar Tree or the Family Dollar on the way to the airport, your friends tend to laugh at you. That you're stopping to buy, like I'm buying toilet paper and towels and stuff like, and socks. She's like, you know, you can get that stuff at home. I'm like, yeah, but I didn't think to bring it with me. And now I have all this beer I have to take home. Now, so, and plastic bags.
Oh, yeah, like Ziploc bags.
If one of them breaks in your suitcase, your clothes will smell like beer no matter how many times you wash them. Trust me.
Well, I'll tell you what. Have you had that happen where one of them breaks in your
suitcase? I have not. I had a friend that had it happen.
I've had it happen twice.
Oh, geez. I haven't had a beer break open, but I've had something else break open, and Ziploc bags don't even always save you. No. It usually tends to still leak out, unfortunately. But you know,
double those babies up.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Yeah, I'm the one. I'll take. Do you? What do you bring home? Do you bring cans? You don't do growlers? I'm assuming that.
No.
I did a growler once.
In a
did it work?
It mostly worked.
Worked.
So I started traveling with electrical tape, and I think that would have solved that one. Electrical tape is great for bottles.
Whenever I ship anything, I put electrical tape around the caps. When I was at Sam Adams, they actually have a whole big spiel that they give during their tour about after you've gone in the sampling room and gotten to taste a bunch of different beers, they take you over to the gift shop. And he's like, before you do that, let me tell you, if you are flying someplace, buy the bottlers or cans. Do not buy the growlers.
It's funny. The growler that I brought back was from Harpoon.
That's even funnier. So I got a growler one time at I think it was Sault Ste. Brewing. It's a brewery in Sault Ste. Marie. I'm pretty sure it's Sault Ste. Brewing. But they had that cap on that growler so tight, it took us a week to get that damn thing off. We went like 3 days before the beer festival, and I went and found him at the beer festival. And I was like, hey, I don't know if you remember me, but I bought a growler from you at like 5 minutes before you closed on this day. And he's like, oh yeah. I'm like, yeah, I still can't get that growler open. And he told me somebody from Ohio had come into the brewery, drove home and complained that the beer was flat by the time they got home. So he's like, I make sure that cap is on so tight, it is not going flat before you open it.
So the growler mostly made it, there was some seepage. It wasn't too bad. So I had wrapped that one in old socks, you know, dirty socks. So that one wasn't, the socks, you know, were ruined, fine, whatever.
Did it alter the flavor of the beer though? Since it,
no, because it only came out. It's not sucking the beer back in.
You don't know that though. It's got the dirty sock taste to it. Absolutely amazing.
The beers that I have lost, one of them was a trip to Ireland, and it sat in JFK where it was sub-zero like 8 hours. That layover, I actually Ubered into town to go to a brewery during the layover and then Ubered back to the airport. But yeah, when I got to Ireland,
it's risky here.
It was so much time.
That's a long layover if you could do that.
Yeah, it was a long way. When I got to Ireland, I got to the hotel and I opened up my bag and the can was ripped in half, but it was still a beer slush. So it hadn't gotten on anything because it was still frozen. Did you end up drinking it?
That's
I did not.
Oh, see? You had a nice treat when you got there.
I know. Yeah. I would have drank it too.
The other cans I brought made it fine. That one did not.
Just the one? Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I only try to bring cans myself. I know they can expand, obviously, if you're in sub-degree weather, but I'm always worried a bottle's going to break unless I have to bring a bottle. And then I'm doing what you do. I wrap it in a t-shirt I'm not going to be upset about if something happens to. And it's been pretty good so far. Maybe I should knock on wood, but haven't run into any issues. I've had cologne actually leak and get over everything in a Ziploc bag. So that's how I know it doesn't work too well. Which is always fun, but do you guys do crawlers at all when you travel or no?
Yes, I brought crawlers home.
I've not flown back with a crawler.
Yeah, yeah. I sure have.
Some of those could be hit or miss with the seals.
That's true.
Yeah, so that
I haven't lost any of them.
Yeah,
and they have to be the ones that are like a regular can too. They can't be the twist top crawlers. For sure. Those definitely do leak. But yeah, I've had one actually. The only time I've had a crawler leak was actually in my car driving home from the store where it wasn't sealed properly. That's the worst. So now you got beer all over the car. So hopefully you don't get pulled over. It's like, oh, how much have you had to drink today? I'll be like, none.
It'd be an open container.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, I was at Dragon Mead one day, sitting at the bar, minding my own business, and a guy next to me came in, and he ordered a growler fill, and he brought his own growler, and it was a pretty old growler. And when she handed it back to him, he came outside to his car, came right back in, and said, "This is leaking," and she held it up to see if there was a crack. And that bottle, that growler exploded all over me, all over him, all over the bartender.
Oh, jeez.
I've never seen anything like that. It just exploded everywhere.
Oh, the things you see happen out there. Good times.
To travel with beer, though, I have a couple of those wine bags for which are very nice. They have a zip top and then they have like that diaper lining stuff inside them. So super absorbent and it's padding. And so I'll put stuff in those.
Yeah, that's absolutely smart. See, again, I don't know what I'm doing in life. I just throw a bottle apparently in with an old t-shirt and hope it goes for the best.
One of my coworkers is going to Hunapu Day. Hunapu, the Cigar City, their big release.
Hunapu.
Thank you. He's going to that and he's bringing us beer back because we're all working together again next week, I think. Whenever the day is, we're working together the week after that. But I had brought homebrew to the, because last week we were all working together, I had brought homebrew to that. So I flew with that in the wine bags with electrical tape on the caps. And that all went fine. So I'll have to do that again. The beer trade.
All right, we're actually coming up on an hour now here. I think it's about time we're going to go ahead and wrap things up. Any more tips from either of you before we bring everything to a close?
No, I think I covered all of my... I mean, I don't know that they're fancy or anything. They're just lessons I've learned the hard way.
That's right, things that end up working most of the time anyway.
Right. Things that people have told me.
All right, that about does it for episode 343 of Better on Draft. Why can I never remember our line? Whatever you think of your beer, we think it's Better on Draft.
Cheers.